you have to text me before anything gets sexual on a date. And the person responding says, okay, great, I'll be sure to try and find a loophole to that as soon as I can.
If you're happy with the same old ways of dating,
if you enjoy sucking at communication,
and you have no desire to improve your romantic life, then our podcast might not be for you.
But if you want some out-of-the-box ideas to deepen your current relationships,
broaden your sexual horizons,
develop a better understanding of yourself,
or learn more about non-monogamy,
then you've come to the right place. I'm Jace.
I'm Emily.
And I'm Dedeker.
And this is the Multiamory Podcast. On this episode of the Multiamory Podcast, we're talking about agreement pitfalls. These are common agreements that people make in non-monogamous relationships that seem solid on the surface, but may actually cause problems in the long run or be hiding some kind of emotional manipulation.
Mm-hmm. But first,
yes,
the lovely Kenzie, who is a $15 patron of ours, wanted to do a shout-out to the one and only Mr. Will McMillan for his birthday, which is, ironically, right before Jace's.
Yeah,
correct?
Our birthdays are one day apart, I just found out, yeah.
So yours is July 9th, and his is July 8th?
Or something, I don't know. Probably shouldn't give away a bunch of his personal,
information.
Also, his social security is...
No, oh, come on. Mr. Yes. McMillan, congratulations on getting a year older.
Uh-huh. Yes. Happy birthday to
Happy
Will.
Birthday to Will. We do appreciate everything that you do. If you are also a $15 patro and want to give a shout out or something on the show, reach out to us, because that's part of your perk, is being a $15 patron. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later on in the show.
Oh, yes. Okay. Are we ready to get into this?
I am.
Yes.
I'm a little uncomfortable because this isn't exactly a happy topic, but I think it's important to address this.
It's an important
this.
One, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a happy topic last week.
That's true.
It's time to get back into the meat of it.
Back into the dark swamp.
Yeah. Well, okay, yes. So let's start by saying that we've come up with a list of five of the most common agreements that we have come across either in our own relationships in the past or with people that we have dated or considered dating, and then also people who are clients or who've talked to us about their relationships, that these are some pretty common ones. This is not comprehensive. You may find that you may realize there's something in your life that's similar or has elements of these that's not just these. I mean, these are not the only troubling agreements that people can make.
Definitely. But the common thread in a lot of these is, like Jay said at the beginning of the episode, they actually seem like a good idea at first. And that's why they're so common, actually.
And some people will even suggest them to you as like, oh, this is a healthy way of
making agreements or structure in your relationship, something like that.
Right.
Yeah.
To try to create the illusion of safety within a relationship.
Yeah.
That's
and it
one
is
of the reasons,
interesting.
Yeah.
Because these tend to be relatively hierarchical as well.
Sometimes.
I will say, I have seen these, for the most part, with relationships that were monogamous that have since opened up. I tend to see these the most often in those relationships, or in relationships that do have a more clearly established hierarchy, such as people who are married or people who live together, that these tend to be more prevalent in those relationships. Not exclusive to those, but I have noticed that's where these come up the most.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What comes to mind is the phrase that the path to hell is paved with good intentions. Because I feel on this show, we've already spent a lot of time talking about how we don't agree with setting up a bunch of really strict rules in your relationships, how we don't necessarily agree with having super strict hierarchy. But now it's going more into the details of these gray areas with agreements, where even in an established relationship where you go like, okay, yeah, I get it, like no harsh rules, or we're not going to do the common ones like veto power or things similar in that nature. But these ones can just be like a little coercive, a little manipulative.
Or could just cause problems later on. All right, so let's get into this.
Let's dive in.
So the very first one here is, there's a few different ways that this can look. But basically it goes like this, that we have to do the same kind of dating as each other. So what that could mean is, you know, coming from the swinging world, it would be we can both date casually, but you can't fall in love with somebody, for example, or you can't, you know, have anyone that you see more than once a month or some kind of thing like that. And then on the other side could be, well, we can't have any casual relationships, that you can't have any kind of casual sex. Everything has to be with the intention of building some longer relationship.
I think people who listen to our Multi-Amory Answers Your Questions episode, this will sound familiar, because we did get a question about, well, I want to have more serious relationships. My husband wants all of our other relationships to be more casual, but I don't really like casual relationships. How do we see eye to eye on this?
And then the other way this can look, just to cover this before we get into it a little bit more, is the other one that you can only go on a date when I go on a date. But it can look a few different ways of trying to force things to be equal in one way or another.
Yeah, I was going to say it kind of creates this illusion of equanimity, and that all of a sudden all of your problems are going to be, I guess, solved if you two are equal in the way in which you date, or the amount of people that you date, or the amount of time that you spend dating other people.
Yeah, and I think an important takeaway, if this kind of agreement is present in one or more of your relationships, or this is an agreement that you're considering making, just remember that, first of all, things don't have to look exactly equal on both sides, or look exactly even on both sides of your relationship. You know, of course, in the instance where it's, well, I can only go on a date if you're going on a date, that's freaking impossible to coordinate in reality, like freaking impossible.
I mean, aside from it being difficult, from what I've seen, it usually ends up with one partner being put at a significant disadvantage to the other. The way I've seen this go down is there's partner number one who would like to go on dates with people but can't until partner number two also has a date lined up. Partner number two finally lines up a date, and then partner number one is now scrambling, you know, especially if they're the one who's more excited about trying non-monogamy, or they're more the one leading this in the relationship, that now they're scrambling to try to find somebody to go out with because they want their partner to be able to go out and do this. And now they're having this problem of not being able to make plans with anyone in advance. And then having to scramble to try to find someone who's free.
We talked about this in an earlier episode of wanting something just for the sake of wanting it, not like wanting what you don't really want.
Yeah.
But I know, Jace, when you and I started our non-monogamous journey together, that you started dating someone, not obviously, it wasn't like a huge intense relationship, but you definitely went on more dates with this person while I was just kind of scrambling to try to find someone, anyone, and so I was going on a lot of like miniature dates with various people. But that was, I think, me trying to cope with the fact that you had a more serious relationship just almost instantaneously, and I was just trying to find something, anything to try to take the edge off.
Yeah,
and this getting into a more serious relationship,
right? And over time in relationships, it can ebb and flow and go one way or the other. That there have been times where, you know, whatever it is, it could be that, oh well, I'm envious because my partner has more serious relationships and I can't seem to find anyone to be serious with, and they're only casual, or the other way around. Of, man, my partner's getting to go on all these fun casual dates and hooking up with people, and I wish I could do that, but my time is stretched so thin now with all the people I'm dating who are more serious relationships, or maybe I just can't find a date at all. There's so many different ways this can look, but that it's okay for things to not be equal all the time.
Yeah. And I do want to address, for people who are in that situation where maybe you want relationships to be more casual and your partner wants them to be more serious, more long-term, more emotionally invested, if you guys have an opportunity to try out your partner's dating style, quote-unquote, organically, if that opportunity organically arises, you have the opportunity to go on a date that might be more casual or have a casual hookup when you don't normally pursue that. Or if you're the person who normally has casual relationships and you find yourself developing feelings for somebody, let yourself explore that. Because I've seen a lot of couples in particular where once they kind of you know, get to walk a mile in their partner's shoes, as it were, then that's the aha moment of like, oh, now I see why this is appealing to my partner. Oh, and now I see why, you know, even though my partner has casual sex, that it doesn't change how they feel about me. Things like that.
Right.
But the important part there is that it is an organic opportunity that you guys aren't trying to force each other to date in a different style than you want. So as in, if you think that, you know, if you get more joy out of casual relationships, that you're not forcing your partner to only have casual relationships or vice versa. Because just because you don't particularly like maybe casual sex, let's say, or just because you don't want to pursue that, it doesn't mean that it is a bad thing. It doesn't mean that having casual sex or having more serious relationships are objectively a bad thing. It's just that the two of you get your itches scratched in different ways.
Right.
And we all got on into this to kind of have different people give us different needs that we may want.
Mm-hmm.
And potentially your partner doesn't want that thing, but that doesn't mean that they can't get their needs from met from someone else.
Yeah, definitely. Should we move along to the next one?
Yeah, let's move on to the next one.
Yeah, so the next one that comes up a lot is this agreement that if you're going to have sex with somebody new, all three of us need to have sex together first before you can go have sex with that person independently. This can be
Even if you're dating that person together before either of the people have sex with that person alone, that, yeah, you have to
Everyone has to have sex together.
Right. And
This crops up in a number of scenarios. It crops up often, obviously, in unicorn hunting scenarios where a couple is trying to find a hot bi babe to be the third in their relationship. And usually they're not very comfortable with either half of the couple having a relationship independently with this third. It can come up with couples who are just opening up, and the idea of one partner having independent sex with somebody is too scary, and they think, well, if it's all of us having sex together, maybe it'll feel better. This comes up a lot.
And I've also, I do want to say that I've seen this come up not only in the unicorn hunting sort of situation. I've also seen this happen with, for example, a couple where the, if it's a heterosexual couple and the female wants to date another guy, that still her husband or whoever this primary partner is might say, no, well, we still all need to have this threesome first, even if he doesn't want to interact with that guy sexually, but that it's still, there's something about kind of controlling that.
Or it's giving, like, context, I guess, for how that person would act outside of the threesome situation.
Right. So there's a few different causes of this when we were discussing this earlier, that there's this fear of being left out, which can happen. But I think actually something that is a little trickier to identify that can happen is that there's this fear that your partner might be having better sex without you.
Well, it's fear of loss of control.
Right. Well, and I think that this one, though, like for a lot of people, it's this fear of, you know, my partner having some kind of experiences that I'm not getting to have. And that somehow by having sex together, I'll get to have those too. Or I'll know what kinds of other sex they're having. Or there's different ways this can look. But I feel like that's another root cause that can sometimes get overlooked.
So the litmus test that I always give my clients, and we've addressed this earlier on the podcast as well, is that if you and your partner have this kind of agreement that you're going to have sex with a new person first before anybody can have sex with them independently, if you imagine your partner having sex with this new person independently and you just cannot stand it, like that drives you crazy, you're probably not ready to go past the threesome stage with having an open relationship where it's independent and autonomous. And, you know, that's where a lot of triads fall apart, because usually it's an established couple adding a third and independent relationships are not allowed to form. And related to that, we want to make it clear that we're not shaming having threesomes, and we're not shaming seeking a partner to have a threesome with you and your partner. Like, that's totally okay. However, if what you want is just threesomes or regular threesomes, you know, go after that. Maybe don't go for specifically polyamory. Maybe don't go for, oh, we're going to have a triad, or don't go for, we're going to have independent dating lives, because you maybe aren't ready for it.
Or it might just not be what you want.
Yeah.
It might not even be a question of being ready for something. That just, if you're really honest with yourselves, you might just want more of a swinging kind of experience, or going to play parties, or just finding people to have, you know, friends who want to have casual threesomes. And that's fine if that is what you want. What's not fine is giving someone the impression that they're getting into a relationship with you, which is then
going to be dumped later on.
Right. Which, or being blamed for the problems in the relationship, or feel like they're being blamed for it, even if you don't think you are, because they're the one who's come in and now you're putting all these things in place to control the types of experiences they can have with the people they're dating, who happens to be the two of you.
Yeah.
So can we turn up the heat a little bit?
Yes.
What I mean by that.
Dedeker and I are in Singapore right now, where it is very hot and humid every day. So no, please don't
turn
up
the heat. It's been pretty nice here in LA, gotta say.
But I mean, can I turn up the heat of controversy a little bit in these agreements?
Sure.
I think here we would say controversy.
Really?
I don't know.
What?
Sorry, please go on. Please go on.
Yeah. Emily, do you want to tackle this one?
Yeah, so the idea that someone has to call or text or get approval before a date gets sexual, or even just, I need to meet this person before you can date them, or I need to meet this person before you can sleep with them. Creating, again, this sort of illusion of control. Like, I'm going to meet that person or get to know them so that I know what you're getting into. And so I don't have to be so scared about it.
Yeah. And this one, I think, is really tricky because on the surface, it sounds good, right? Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the importance of being able to meet your metamorph. And, you know, that it's kind of a red flag if you have a partner who will not meet your other partners. That is something that would raise some concerns.
It's also tricky because we also talk about the importance of being honest and keeping all your partners in the loop as to what's going on. You know, that if you do get sexual with somebody, that is somebody new, that isn't something that you should hide or not talk about or omit.
Of course.
That it's important to be upfront about all of that.
But there's a big difference between that and having to actually meet this person before anything potentially sexual occurs.
Right. Similarly, even just needing to call or text or check in or even get permission before a date gets sexual, right? So in the middle of our date, I have to stop, call or text and make sure that they're, you know, that my partner is by their phone and that they respond to this.
And just as a side note, I think doing this for logistics is fine. As in, if it's looking like this date, it might get sexual and you're planning on spending the night, I think it's fine to reach out and be like, hey, I'm probably not going to come home tonight.
Right.
You know, like, that's totally fine. But having an agreement where there's kind of this stopgap where you have to take yourself out of the date, check in with your other partner, get the yes or no, and then you can proceed or not, that's really problematic.
Yeah, it's a different implication there, for sure.
Yeah, so the other part of this, which is something that's come up a lot in our discussions about rules and agreements in general, is that part of this, too, is aside from the fact that it's putting up a barrier on another relationship, which is something that can cause problems later on or can be used to be manipulative, even unintentionally. But on top of that, there's also this element of making a rule that's very specific about following a certain protocol that are the rules which are most prone to
being bent,
people
being
trying
broken,
to find ways around them,
finding the
or
loophole.
Trying to find ways to bend them, trying to find the loophole. Mm-hmm. There was a recent Kimchi Cuddles comic that was passed around in our group and that we were talking about, where the section on coercive agreements was the term that she used, and that one was, you have to text me before anything gets sexual on a date, and the person responding says, okay, great, I'll be sure to try and find a loophole to that as soon as I can.
Oh, God.
That I do think that there's something to use Dedeker's example, the difference between just out of a courtesy, I'm going to check in with my partner. Or maybe they could even request and say, hey, if you are going to spend the night, just let me know so I don't stay up, or so I know I can watch the really violent movies tonight that you don't want to watch.
Jeez.
Or right?
That one felt surprisingly dark.
No, I know a lot of couples that are like that. It's,
oh,
you know,
I
one
see.
Doesn't like the super violent John Woo movies or something. So it's like, well, I get to watch them when you're out.
It's time for audition.
God. Oh, please never.
Okay, I'm going to take us past this.
Well, hold on. I want to finish my thought. But just that there is that difference between you're doing something out of a courtesy for your partner versus doing something because it's a rule. Mm. And I think that's a big difference because one is that the rule tends to encourage finding this way around it if it's uncomfortable or if it's inconvenient. And then on top of that, if someone asks you to do something and you don't do it, the response is a little more civil. It's, hey, I really wanted to know earlier than that you weren't going to come home. And it can be a discussion of, sorry, I didn't really know yet. I wasn't sure how it was going to go. Or, yeah, you're right. My mistake. I'm sorry.
As opposed to breaking an agreement.
As opposed to you broke an agreement. You broke a mm-hmm. rule. Mm-hmm. Right? I think that might seem like a small.
It might suddenly seem, two syllables yes. in the word small.
It might seem like a small semantic difference, but there's actually a big world of difference in how that actually plays out in a lot of relationships.
Mm-hmm. So various things can motivate these kind of agreements. It could be one partner is just afraid of being out of the loop or afraid of being surprised. That's one that's come up for me personally a lot, is feeling like if I know ahead of time what's going to happen, then everything's going to be great. If I just know the plan, if I know everything that's going to happen, if I just know all the details,
right.
then nothing will surprise me. And
then I won't be hurt.
And then I won't be hurt, which is complete bullshit, because you can still be hurt whether it was a surprise to you or not. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you gave approval or not, it can still feel weird to you. For me, I've had to make peace with, if I have a partner who's out on a date and I'm really curious about what's going on and I don't know if it's going to be sexual or not and I'm trying to evaluate how do I feel about that, I pulled from a meditation technique about actually resting and finding relaxation in the state of not knowing something. Like this idea of just not having to carry that knowledge and not having to worry about it, that has allowed me to be able to take a step back and be like, you know what? It's fine. Whatever happens is going to happen. We'll talk about it afterwards. I'll know eventually. And it'll be cool. It'll be fine. So that's how I've been able to come to terms to this in the past.
I've also found that as an approach to going on dates, to go in with this sense of, I don't have to have an agenda for how this is going to go. I'm not going to be disappointed if it goes one way or another. I mean, you know, maybe I will. I don't know how I'm going to feel. But not going in with, oh, I really need to be sure I'm doing the right things to get this outcome. And so if both partners in this relationship that we're talking about here that has these agreements can embrace that, well, I don't know, I will know, and it's going to be okay, that can help take away the need for this kind of rule.
Yeah, I mean, you fell in love with this person when they were a complete unknown. And so just it kind of putting the power back in their hands and saying, like, I don't own this human being now just because we're together. I don't have to know their every single move. Instead, they can be an autonomous person. Yeah. And that means they can do their own thing right now. And that's going to be okay. And I will be able to live with that.
Right.
Yeah. And that is a tough thing, which we could do an entire episode on. But just adjusting to a partner being an independent human being is a big hurdle for some people and, you know, making independent choices.
And I do find, like Emily said, it's really helpful to just remember, well, when I fell in love with this person, they were that. They were something I didn't know everything about. I didn't know everything they were doing. I didn't feel like I needed to be their parent or control them or give them permission to do things. And I find that when you shift your thinking to that, it can actually make the experience, instead of being, oh, I'm scary, I'm losing control, to an exciting opportunity to fall in love with that person again, to have that excitement that you had with that person when you were first meeting, instead of being their parent, which I feel like is how this feels.
Which is not
right?
sexy.
Like, I need to meet them before they take you out and make sure that...
Yeah,
everything's good.
Yeah, make sure his shoes are shined.
Make sure his shoes are shined. Good lord. Is that you being like 50s era dad?
I think so, yeah.
I think so.
Good lord. Jeez. Okay.
For a long time now, we've been fans of adamandeve.com for getting sex toys or lingerie or accessories, things like that. It's just a fantastic resource with a huge selection. And now, not only do we have a fantastic offer, but we also have a promo code that will work on adammail.com and evestoys.com, which are their sites specifically for LGBTQ audiences. And our code is fantastic. It's 50% off of almost any item in the store and free discreet shipping when you use our code MULTI.
Yes, we love AdamandEve.com and have for years. They are our oldest and longest sponsor, and they just keep on giving great gifts to us and to our listeners. You can bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom by going to AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com and select any one item. It can be, you know, an adventurous new toy or anything you desire, something fun, something sexy, whatever sounds good.
So just enter offer code MULTI at checkout and you'll get 50% off almost any item plus free shipping. That's MULTI, M-U-L-T-I, at AdamandEve.com, AdamMail.com, or EvesToys.com. This is an exclusive offer that is specific to this podcast, and it's better than any offer that is currently available on their site. So again, use code MULTI to get you not just the 50% discount, but also the 100% free shipping. Code M-U-L-T-I.
Okay, back into it. Yeah. I'm going to turn up the heat again.
Again?
Heat. Again. So hot in here.
It's getting so hot in here.
I'm already starting to wilt.
Okay. I think this one's going to be divisive.
Okay.
But
yeah, I agree.
Agreement that I see all the time is that you need to get tested, your new partner needs to get tested, and ideally, even their partners need to get tested before anybody can have any kind of sexual contact.
And let me just add to this, something I've heard a lot of people express in discussion groups and things online is not only that, but they have to have not had sex with any other new partners who haven't been tested within the last 30 days or 3 months or whatever the requirement is, because, oh, well, some STIs can be dormant and aren't detectable for the first few months. But putting these very strict requirements on other people's checking in on their sexual safety. And this can look a few different ways, like we're saying.
And of course, the reason why this is controversial is because, of course, sexual health and safety is super important.
Yes.
We can't stress that enough. And I don't want anyone to interpret us as saying that you can be sexually cavalier, that you don't need to be safe, that you don't need to use any kind of protection, that you don't need to get tested. We're definitely not saying that. No. However, because of the fact that no one can argue that, often people will hide behind that and requiring people to jump through a whole bunch of hoops is actually a way of controlling and limiting the amount of freedom that their partner has as far as sexually exploring with other people.
Mm-hmm. That it is, again, something that's come up in a lot of these is one relationship kind of exerting control or
power,
limiting another relationship. And that is, this is one way that can look.
Mm-hmm. And one of the ways in which the two of you tend to sort of take that possibility out of the equation is that you just use condoms with every single person.
Yeah.
So you're just making sure that you yourself are protected.
Well, but the important thing there is that is not an agreement that Jason and I made with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Those are individual, I guess, boundaries that we just made for ourselves. As in, like,
exactly.
I've made the personal decision to use condoms with everybody. That includes Jace. That includes literally everybody I use condoms with. And if I'm feeling unsafe, if I'm feeling something's risky, then I make the choice on how I'm going to protect myself. I make the choice to be like, okay, actually, I want to use protection for these different sexual acts, or I want to avoid these sexual acts in order to make me feel safe. And it's the same thing with Jace as well, is that he has made the choice to use condoms with everybody. And that's the important thing here, is that what usually happens is that there will be one relationship where people have decided to fluid bond. Mm-hmm. And of course, this is common that if a couple was monogamous before, usually that means that they're not using any kind of protection. And so
except maybe birth control.
And they don't want to change that. Yeah. You know, they don't want to change that. And so that means everybody else has to take care of their safety. And that's the important thing here.
That now your partners are my problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Right. And the thing that I always try to tell people to empower them, not to be judgy or lecturery, is that you always have the power to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, you always have that decision-making power to protect yourself. I don't care what it is that your partner wants. I don't care what it is that their partner's partners wants. Like, you have the ability to protect yourself. And so that's why I always find it so ridiculous when people freak out about, well, my partner's partner's partner once had an STD 6 months ago, and everybody needs to get tested, and everybody needs to wear a hazmat suit, because I don't want to have to do that. basically is what happens. And when we were planning
again,
this episode,
is based on that assumption where they are then fluid bonded with their partner.
Yeah.
So they feel like anything that might happen to their partner is going to happen to them.
And that's where the problem comes about. Earlier is that it's just as ridiculous if you were like, well, I don't want to have to wear a seatbelt because seatbelts bother me. Seatbelts are annoying. So everyone else needs to drive safer and make sure that they don't hit me or hurt me. You know, like that, like we would think that's ridiculous, right? We would tell that person, like, no, wear a freaking seatbelt. Just do it. Because you can't control the behavior of everybody else.
All right. This last one is another one that we see a lot. I've definitely run into a number of people I've gone on dates with who've had some variation on this. And that is that their primary partner requires either a certain number of nights or a certain ratio of nights in the week to just have with themselves, you know, for that primary relationship.
As in, I come to you and I say, we need to spend a minimum of 5 nights together.
Right.
If you're going to be dating somebody else.
Right. So you can date other people, but I need 5 nights or I need 4 nights. And
Or what it often boils down to is I need more than whatever the other person is getting.
Sure.
This is really honestly what often happens.
Yes. And this can also look like, I mean, some people it's even more extreme. I actually see this a lot too, where it's, you can date other people and you can have sex with them, but you always have to come home and sleep with me in bed. We almost skipped over that because it's just, that's very limiting to another relationship and shows that maybe, again, as Dedeker was saying with her other question, you might not be ready to make that kind of choice, to have relationships like that if you're going to be that restrictive of them.
So I see this come up a lot. People make this argument of, well, but I like having a lot of time with my partner. If my partner is then splitting up that time with somebody else, how am I going to get my needs for time met? Or sometimes it can even be, actually, I'm happy with the amount of time that my partner spends with me, but the idea of him spending time with somebody else or somebody else even approaching that amount of time, that makes me unhappy. Mm-hmm. And suddenly I feel like I need more time because I need to monopolize it, or I just need to have more.
I mean, that gets into the whole, I think that I want something that I don't actually want, which is, again, I mean, you can have a lot of nights with a partner, but they're not all necessarily going to be spent doing something really incredible or amazing. They may just be sort of everyday interaction. And so I think, again, the important thing is to, I guess, have dates with your primary or with the person that you live with or your nesting partner or whomever, as opposed to just saying, like, I need this specific time and that's the end of it, or I need more time, but instead create quality time with that person.
Yeah, and this can definitely apply whether you're in a primary secondary hierarchy or whether you live with somebody or not, that often it boils down to the existing relationship feeling like, well, maybe you do spend most of your time with me, but the one night a week that you spend with this new partner is all romantic date time or playful sexy time, and our time is Netflix and chill and adulting.
Well, not even chill, just,
you just
Netflix
and sleep. Basically Netflix and sleep. And so anybody who starts feeling sticky about time, first of all, I ask them to determine, you know, is quality time your love language? Is that why this is so important to you? Or is this a situation where it's, you know, I want what I don't want, like we covered on an earlier podcast episode. But again, to bring it back to the focus of the quality time, rather than counting up the hours, counting up the days, counting up the nights, you know, are you getting the quality of time together that you want? Because usually that's what the actual crux of the issue is. It's not that I just need more of your time. It's, I just need better time with you. I need to make sure that maybe at least one night a week we have a date night also, or whatever, or at least occasionally enough to make me also feel loved and special.
Yeah, Josh and I created this Saturday thing where I used to work brunch both Saturday and Sunday, and his only 2 days off of work each week were Saturday and Sunday, so we never had a completely full day together. So I'm taking Saturdays off now, and it's wonderful because we do get an entirely, you know, specific one day for us where all that we do is go on like a Saturday adventure or something, or make a specific date for the two of us. And it definitely is, I see a great change in that, just that there is this specific time set aside that is more special and makes each of us feel more special in the relationship and more loved and wanted.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that if something comes up, like having to travel for work or something, then you can change it. But at least you have something there to ensure that you're getting that quality time together.
Absolutely.
I would also want to just follow up with what Dedeker was saying, that it's sometimes quality time can become this kind of general term. I think this can also be really helpful to think about what is the quality of time that you want. For example, it could be that, you know, we want to have more time dedicated to sexy times, or maybe it is more times dedicated to romance and dating, or it's doing new things together. Because you heard about that in our Science of Happy Relationships, that doing new stuff together makes you happier.
Creating memories.
But it's not just quality time as a general concept, but what kinds of qualities do you want from this time so that you don't feel so threatened by anyone else getting some sort of quality time?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so as we said, this is far from a comprehensive list of agreement pitfalls or coercive agreements or agreements that seem nice on the outside but actually can cause trouble in the long run. We definitely want to dig into those more in future episodes, and Jace looks like he wants to say something.
Well, there's just, I know there's plenty of people out there who are probably going to disagree with a lot of these too.
Yeah.
And you will very likely find advice from other people that might directly contradict some of this. Because we wanted to really get into some of the stuff that, you know, that we've really looked at a lot and thought about these things and seen some stuff that is different from the advice that we got when we were starting out. Mm-hmm. It was different from the things that each of us did in our first poly relationships.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're bringing it home now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Great.
So thank you guys so much for listening as always. If you would like to have your question or comment played on the show, then you can call us at 678- MULTI05. For our international listeners, you can reach out to us on our Facebook page and leave an audio message. And I think we're about coming up on time to do another Multiamory Answers Your Questions show.
Yeah, we might do one of those pretty soon.
Yeah.
So call in now.
Call in now. Leave your questions. You can also email us.
If you call in the next 20 minutes, we'll throw in a free ShamWow.
A multi-amory ShamWow.
What the fuck is a ShamWow again?
What?
Just go watch some late night TV.
Go watch some YouTube memes from 10 years ago. Anyway, you can also email us at info@multiamory.com. You can send us a message on Twitter, on Facebook, or Instagram. To support our show and to join our private Facebook community, you can go to patreon.com/multiamory.
Multiamory is created and produced by Emily Matlack, Dedeker Winston, and me, Jace Lindgren. Our episodes are edited by Mauricio. Our social media wizard is birthday boy Will McMillan. And Woo! Our theme song is Forms I Know I Did by Josh and Anand from the Fractal Cave EP.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.